The Bible is like unto a magnificent palace constructed of precious oriental stone, comprising 66 stately chambers. Each one of these chambers is different from its fellow and is perfect in its individual beauty, while together they form an edifice incomparably majestic, glorious, and sublime. In the book of Genesis, we enter the grand vestibule, where we are immediately introduced to the records of the mighty work of God in creation. This vestibule gives us access to the law courts, passing through which we come to the picture gallery of the historical books. Here we find hung upon the walls scenes of battles, heroic deeds, and portraits of valiant men of God. Beyond the picture gallery, we find the philosopher's chamber, the book of Job, passing through which we enter the music room, the book of Psalms, and here we linger, thrilled by the grandest harmonies that ever fell on human ears. Then we come to the business office, the book of Proverbs, in the very center of which stands the motto, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Leaving the business office, we pass into the research department, Ecclesiastes, and thence into the conservatory, the Song of Solomon, where greet us the fragrant aroma of choicest fruits and flowers, and the sweet singing of birds. We then reach the observatory, where the prophets with their powerful telescopes are looking for the appearing of the bright and morning star, prior to the dawning of the Sun of Righteousness. Crossing the courtyard, we come to the audience chamber of the king, the Gospels, where we find four lifelike portraits of the king himself, revealing the perfections of his infinite beauty. Next, we enter the workroom of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostles, and beyond that, the correspondence room, the epistles, where we see Paul and Peter, James, John, and Jude, busy at their tables, under the personal direction of the Spirit of Truth. Finally, we enter the throne room, the book of Revelation, where we are enwrapped by the mighty volume of adoration and praise which is ever addressed to the enthroned King, which fills the vast chamber, while in the adjacent galleries and judgment hall there are portrayed solemn scenes of judgment and wondrous scenes of glory associated with the coming manifestation of the Son of God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The author of this little piece is unknown, but the author of the Bible is known. For the Scripture tells us that holy men of God spake as they were borne along by God the Holy Spirit. So not only do we know who wrote the Bible, but friend of mine, it's possible to know the author of the Bible. It's possible for you to know God Himself in a very personal and intimate way. You know, when you know the author of a book, it gives you a special interest in it. You read it with an awareness, a keenness, an alertness that possibly you don't put into other books. And friend of mine, for well over 25 years, I have personally known the author of the Bible. And I can commend to you the reading, the studying, the obeying of God's Word, the Bible. But more so, I would like to encourage you to, by faith, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one about whom the Bible is written, the one who, as the Holy Spirit of God, inspired holy men of old to write the truth of the Word of God. Friend of mine, if we can be of help to you as you seek to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, Master, and Savior, we'd count it a privilege to introduce you to this friend of ours who is revealed as the Christ of the living God in the Bible itself. Would you today like to know Him? Why don't you accept Him as your Savior and Lord and Master, and then by His grace and through His power, live for His glory, even till He comes again. May the Lord bless you to do so.